I want to give an update on the services. We were actually supposed to, initially when we started this, have service today, but there is a shelter-in-place order for Paulding County. There's an order in Douglas County. There's an order in Carroll County, most of the surrounding Atlanta area. And the shelter-in-place order for Paulding County is until noon on April the 6th. Now, what that means is we likely will not be able to have service next Sunday, which is April the 5th, unless that order were lifted. So right now, the truth is, unless something changes, the next scheduled service is going to be April the 12th. And now, that's Easter Sunday. That's Resurrection Sunday. And what a great day it would be for everybody to be back in the house of the Lord, to be able to come together and worship. Now, I know a lot of the shopping malls are closed, so you're not going to be able to go out and buy your new Easter dress or outfit if you hadn't already bought it, but maybe you've already gotten that. But we'll be glad to see you in whatever you've got. Now, you'll notice I've already got my tie off this morning. That's because when I got here, Kendra had me practicing a song, and I realized that pollen is almost 9,000 today, and it's already gotten to me. Just an update, we want to talk again just to give you a little information on how to give tithes and offerings. You can send them to the P.O. Box for the church. That's Hiram First Baptist Church, P.O. Box 524, Hiram, Georgia, 30141. You can mail them to the church at 4211 Hiram Sudi Road, or you can go online. We have an app for giving to HFBC, and there is an HFBC app that you can download and give. And, you know, if God's impressed you to give something, you know, we want to keep on going. We got a lot of people that are hurting right now through this, and we certainly understand if people are not in a position to give as they once did. And it's our prayer that God would provide the things that you need. People are getting laid off, and there are a lot of people, a record number, filing for unemployment benefits. We do believe this will be behind us soon, and we believe that God does have a plan. But there are people that need your prayers and your support right now. Now, when we do return to church, which we are going to be having church soon, it's going to be different. It's going to be different because we're still going to have this virus around, and this is a pretty aggressive virus, especially for older people or people who have pre-existing conditions. And what's called social distancing is something that we're going to have to consider. You know, the Bible says this in several places. It says, greet one another with a holy kiss. We don't do that much anymore, but now we shake hands and we pat people on the back. And we're going to have to be aware of that, aware of the spread of germs. I even heard a doctor say that if we would be attentive of how we greet one another, even the common flu would be reduced. So I want you to keep that in mind, because it is very important to me that we take care of our people. We have a lot of people in this church that have pre-existing health conditions. We have people who have compromised immune systems, and we care about those people. And my concern with coming back to church is exactly that. We want you to know we love you. So if I see you and I don't stick my hand out, it's because I love you. We're going to ask Kendra to come up. She's wanting to sing a song this morning, and I'm going to try to help her with that. So I'm going to ask Kendra to come on around.
Hi, church. We miss you very much. We love that you are tuning in and listening to the services this way, and we're just doing the best that we can to fellowship via audio and visual aid, and we appreciate you listening in and praying for us and for praying for each other, and all of you that are reaching out to each other, we appreciate that as well. I've heard of people bringing groceries to people that couldn't get out. I have heard of great kindness among all of you, and I appreciate that. I believe that's what God would want us to do. And as I sing this song this morning, I want you to know that God is there. You know, a lot of times the world wants us to feel like that he's not, but he is. And he's still with us, and he hears your prayers. And this song is just very special to me because I know that he's heard my prayers. And I can look over in the past and see how he's brought me through things in the past and how he's blessed me. And God's brought us through so many things. If we focus on the blessings that he's given us, we still have food on our table, and we have a roof over our head. We have many blessings. We have loved ones that we love, and people that are calling and checking on us, and people that are praying for us, and that's all God's blessing. If we count them up and we sat down and wrote on a page all of our blessings, they would far outnumber our burdens and our cares in this life. But even with that, we'd see how God brought us through. So know that when you reach up to heaven through your prayers, that He's there for you.
When Stephen was accused,
this time we're going to ask Brother Allen to come around. Come on, Brother Allen.
Good morning, church. I'm glad to see that so many of you are tuned in and watching and following this morning. I'm thankful to be able to spend Sunday morning with you, although I don't get to see your faces. I miss you guys. I miss our youth corner over here. Often we try to keep things in line and, you know, tell them, hey, don't be on your phone and stuff like that. But I really miss just being with you, even if you are on your phone. We got a few things I want to go over this morning with you, and I won't be long. But this week I'd found myself in a place that were really, truly, I was almost, you know, kind of in a bad and a grumpy mood because, you know, I wanted to be here and things are out of the ordinary and we're not going down the same old schedule that we always do. And even my wife come to me and says, you're going to have to get in a better mood. She said, you're starting to affect me. So I began to pray about that and think about that. And then God began to work. And it's interesting the way that He did it. I was sitting in my living room with my son and my daughter and my wife. And a song come on the radio that was playing on my wife's phone. And they began to sing. And my daughter who sings harmony and my son who sings melody and my wife who was singing with him began to sing, just not even looking at each other, just out of just random. And it started sounding so good. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not a singer. I couldn't necessarily get in there with them. And God was really telling me, it's going to be all right. I'm still here. So I silently got up, found myself a quiet place, and I began to thank God that I can still enjoy him even when I'm not here. And I was thankful for that. And I want to encourage you in that and tell you, find time, even at home today when you may not be at work this week or anything like that, to thank the Lord for blessing us like he has, that he's kept us safe. And the truth is, if we'll do that, we'll begin to realize that God really does want to be close to us. Now, David said some words about this, and we're going to read those in just a little bit. So if you got a little bit of time, I'm going to give you some. Let's go to the 37th chapter, but I'm going to mention some other stuff before we get there. David had some words that when he spoke were really meant to encourage people like you and I. And when we think about courage, you know, it's difficult in times like this because we hear other words that start with C, like contagious and those other things. But, you know, not all things that are contagious are bad. This is what David said in the 73rd chapter of Psalms. It says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all the works." You know, we're talking about the good things that God has done for us this morning. I tell you, God has given me a family that loves the Lord. I'm thankful for those things. I'm thankful for you. And as we go through these days, let's keep that in mind. Now, I also know what God has done in our church, and I know what the Lord is doing in some of your lives, and I know what the Lord's doing in my life. And I have to stay focused on him, because not all of the things that are out there are good for us. But not all of them are bad either. So today I want to mention to you about two subjects, fear and hope. Both things. Again, talking about being contagious, fear and hope are both contagious as well. Now, that affects the spiritual side and the physical side. I tell you, I think I've worked harder at my house over the past week and a half than I have in a long time. And honestly, I'm starting to feel it physically, but I'm also feeling some of this spiritually. You know, it affects my life, some of the things that we're battling, some of the things that we're going through. Now, because both of those things are affected, your fear and your hope, let's talk about it for just a little bit. What is my fear supposed to be, and what is it not supposed to be? I'm not supposed to fear the things of this world, but I am supposed to fear anything that would interfere with my relationship with God. What does hope look like? I'm not supposed to hope for the things of this world to bring me good, but I can hope that I have the right relationship with God and to know that he loves me and he cares for me and he's got his hand on me. Your hope is supposed to be in the rock that Jesus describes himself as in Matthew 7. He's unmovable, he's unshakable, and yes, here we still live by those very same words that Jesus spoke and put them in the Bible. It's kind of like this, if you want to put it in a metaphor, the Word of God is like an anvil. And it's been attacked so many times, over and over and over, by different people and by different lifestyles and things like that. But the anvil is unmoved. And stacked around that anvil is just a whole bunch of hammers that were ineffective to defeat the Word of God. I want you to keep that in mind as we go through this. But look in that 37th Psalm that I asked you to go to earlier, and look at the first verse. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither thou be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall be soon cut down like the grass and wither as the grass and herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee to the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." You know, what's David doing there? He's giving us encouragement in the Lord and to understand that those words are meant to be contagious. So where do we get our right hope and right fear from? We get it from the Word of God because they're embedded in his Word. 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And I know as we go into times like we're dealing with now, it's difficult to not be afraid. But I'm not afraid of losing my relationship with the Lord, because he told me and he told us in his word that we'll always be with him. So we get the right hope from the Lord. We get the wrong hope from counting on the people and the things of this world to bring us what we need. The right fear is fearing anything that would separate us from God. The wrong fear are fearing things that would bring no hope. So what do we say? What does that look like? Paul says in Philippians 4:6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Let me tell you what he's really saying there. Paul's telling us, don't worry about anything, but everything that we have, lift it to the Lord. You know, I found myself, I told you earlier, in a place where I wasn't comfortable. You know, some people call it a grumpy mood. I was there, and in order for me to get out of it, I had to go to God and say, "God, help me where I'm at right here." And God did that. And God has lightened the load on me. And I'm thankful for those things. But the wrong hope and the wrong fear, the fear is you're fearing that something that God never intended for you to begin with. And hoping for things that God doesn't ever intend for you. See, so where does that leave me there when you're telling me not to worry? You find yourself in a spot where you can say, "Lord, I want to do and be the best me in any situation that you put me in." Oftentimes, our young people over here will find themselves in a spot where they'll say, "I just don't like my scenario, and I've prayed for God to take it away." And sometimes God doesn't do that. So what do? We say, "God, I want to be exactly who you want me to be in the situation that I'm in." So when you get to the point where you lack the hope and the fear, what does that look like? If you don't have hope or fear, it looks reckless, no direction, false sense of security, and lack of seriousness. Let me tell you what a dangerous place that is. Because when you get to those places, you're no longer learning, you're no longer seeking the Lord, and you made yourself susceptible to everything that comes about in this world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 5th verse. It says, "For our gospel came not us unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we are among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." Now let's look at the 7th and 8th. "So that you are in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but also in every place your Father God's word is spread abroad, so that we not need to speak anything." What's he saying? He says, you yourself set an example of the way you followed the Lord and the way that you trusted him. Young people today, some of you, God is working in your lives and you can see it, and the way that you trust him and the way that you look at him is impressive, and I'm thankful for you. Some of us need to allow those things to be contagious to us as well. You know, I mentioned earlier, we're talking about the lack of hope and fear. It's not where somebody's going to tremble. Again, it's a reckless life with no direction and a false sense of security. We're trying to avoid that. Those are the ways of destruction. Remember, I talked about being contagious. I want you to remember this. If you need to be reminded that there's a hope that lives in you, let go of your fear, let go of your distrust, and trust God. How do you get there? Read his word. We've got the time. Let's use it wisely. And finally, and I'll close with this before I turn it back over to Brother Joe, don't run crazy and panic. But let's put our hope in Jesus. He's the only thing that we should fear as far as a broken relationship. And anything that would separate us from him, let's avoid. Thank you for tuning in this morning, Brother Joe.
Thank you, Brother Allen. Thank you for coming and bringing God's word. And thank you for meeting here with us. Enjoy working with Brother Allen and Miss Tracy and their family. And I'm thankful that you come and you want to be in the house of God. We miss it. I miss it. I miss looking around and seeing all your smiling faces. It won't be long. We'll be back together in church, and we'll be doing things. And sometimes, you know, there's an old saying that says, absence makes the heart grow fonder. When kids are ready to go back to school and people are ready to go back to church, I'm just looking forward to getting back to church. Now, here's what's funny. I've been sent these videos this week of some guy coming down the aisle, just absolutely erratic and acting crazy because it's the first Sunday back in church with the congregation. I'm not going to promise you I won't act a little bit like that. I'm going to try my best to bring what God has laid on my heart this morning, but I am looking forward to a congregation. Being able to be in the house of the Lord. I want to speak for just a few minutes this morning on this title, this subject, Standing on the Promises of God. We need to be reminded sometimes that God is still there and God has made promises to us. I want to read out of Genesis chapter number 9, beginning in the 13th verse down through the 17th verse. Then I'm going to flip over to 2 Peter chapter number 1. And read just a couple of verses. But the scripture says this in Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 13. It says, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember that everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. I want to remind you, as we enter springtime and we have spring rains and we have days when showers come up and it'll rain a little bit and the steam will rise up off the ground and you can look up and you can see the beautiful rainbow in the clouds, that rainbow is there because God put it there as a reminder to us of His promises and of who He is. You know, scientists can try to describe everything, but I want to tell you something that's written in the Word of God. The Bible says not to let yourself be deceived by vain proclaimings of science. Now, here's the thing to understand. God made it all. He made you, He made me, and He's made a place for us, and He's promised us in His Word that one day we're going to be with Him. Every time you look at a rainbow, you need to remember the promises of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1, down through the 4th verse, I want to read these 4 verses. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And then the 4th verse says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And we'll talk just a little bit about the promises of God. And I like to look at words. I'm kind of a word person. I'm one of those people that if you come up to me and you say something about maybe something that somebody said, and I'll look at it, and sometimes my family gets a little bit aggravated with me, but I say, tell me exactly what they said. Exactly what the words were. Because the words matter. And here's what a promise is as a noun. It is an engagement to do or not to do something. Ground for expectation of good things in the future. And it implies a binding agreement carrying certain definite obligations. Now remember, we're talking about the promises of God to us. And then promise as a verb is this. It is to afford hopes, to give grounds for expecting much. Now, Brother Allen mentioned fear and he mentioned hope. And I've heard it said this week, and they were talking about all the things going on, that hope can sometimes be dangerous. But here's why I want to tell you as we talk about promises which include hope this morning. It's not dangerous for the Christian, and I want to give you some reasons why. When you look at the Word of God and you look at who God is and you look at what God has given us as His children, we can trust in and we can depend on the promises of God. We can have hope in the promises of God. And here's one reason, and I've got this, and I know this is alliterated a little bit, but I want you to understand the context. Because the promises of God are powerful. They're powerful because they are structured. And here's what that means. God has a plan. We're not just here randomly trying to do the best we can on our own. We are not by ourselves. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 11, a verse that oftentimes our young people cling to and they read, says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And here's what I want you to understand. God has a plan. Sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes we question. Sometimes we're uncertain. But God is never surprised, and He's not surprised by what's going on in our country today. He's not surprised by what's going on at the stock market. He's not wringing His hands and worrying about what tomorrow's going to hold. He's God. He's still God. He's going to be God right through the middle of this, and He's going to be God to carry us through all of our circumstances. I like this verse in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6 for the Christian. It says this, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Sometimes I have to be reminded of that myself because, yes, sometimes I do question. Sometimes I do get down. Sometimes I am concerned. But I have to remember that God has not led me in the wilderness to leave me, but He has led me out there to teach me something, and He knows exactly what's on the other side of the wilderness. And when God is ready for us to cross the Jordan and go into the promised land, there is not enough devils in hell to keep us from being able to go. You know, sometimes for you and I, we might have good intentions. We think we're going to do the right thing, and sometimes we even make promises. Sometimes I've made promises and I've missed it. Sometimes I've made promises to God and I've missed it. The Bible says in one place it's better for a man not to make a vow unto the Lord than to make one and to break it. But I want to tell you, I've made promises to God, I've made promises to people, but because I do not have the structure that God has and I do not see what God sees, sometimes I make promises that I cannot keep or I will not be able to keep. Sometimes it's like this, we say, well, I know I've promised, but things just didn't work out the way that I thought they would. But it's not that way with God, and here's why. Because when God makes a promise to you and I, He already sees the end. He already knows what's in our future. Remember, Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself." God already knows what the end is going to be for the church, for the Christian. He knows what the plan is for Hiram First Baptist Church. He knows what the plan is for your life. And here's what I want you to understand, is that you can trust the plan of God. You see, God's promises are powerful because they're structured. God's promises are also powerful because God's timing is perfect. You see, the scripture says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4, it says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." The critical part of that that I want us to see in relation to this message is the scripture said, "But when the fullness of the time was come." Here's the point. God knew exactly when to send Jesus Christ into the world. The world was prepared for a Savior. The language, the people, all things were in order according to prophecy and scripture that were to be foretold that God would send His Son at that time, in that place, to Bethlehem. The things that He would do, it was God's timing and it was perfect. in mine and your life, we may not always see that, but what we must do as Christians is realize that God loves us more than we can comprehend, and His timing is perfect for our lives. And we need to look to Him and trust in Him, because it is the times that you may not be able to see God, that God seemed the farthest away from you, that God is actually doing the most in your life. You see, God's promises are also sure, because God cannot lie. The scripture says in Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. You see, He cannot lie. In Hebrews chapter 6, in verse number 13 through verse number 18, the scripture says this. It says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Now that word immutability means unchanging or permanent character. God which cannot lie. And in the 18th verse says that by two immutable or unchanging things, in the which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. You see, sometimes when we make a promise, we sometimes even have misinformation. We don't see things clearly, and we don't really understand sometimes the things that we're even making promises about. That's why when we make promises, we do not follow through. We sometimes even say, well, I know I promised, but I'm not going to do it, or I can't do it. But God already sees everything. You see, He is an unchanging, all-knowing God. God's promises are not this way like ours, because His character is unchanging. And His vision is not limited, and He sees it all. You see, God's promises are also steadfast, because God cannot fail. I can try, and sometimes I know the way that us men are, and sometimes even our youth. We've had a hard time getting our youth just to settle down in the midst of this difficulty that we're going through, and realize that they are not necessarily going to be invincible, but they need to settle down and just obey the rules. But you know, sometimes as we think that we are able to stand and we think that we're able to do things, sometimes the truth is we do fail, but God never fails. The scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 13, it says this, and I'm thankful that this verse says this, because I need this verse. It says, if we believe not, yet He, our God, abideth faithful, because He cannot deny Himself. I want to tell you that I am thankful that there are times that God has stepped in on my behalf, because I was not able to stand, because I did not stand, but God loved me enough that He protected me and He took care of me. It's like the song that they sang, I thank God for unanswered prayers. I'm so thankful that God sometimes has protected me from myself. You see, His understanding is not limited. He is an omnipotent God. He is all-powerful, and He has no equal. We have limitations, but He does not. We make promises, and we do not keep them, but He does not. You see, God never has the problems that we have. I heard a true story of a school that was out on the West Coast that had caught fire. A man was listening on the radio, and as they talked about the school, it was the elementary school where his son went to school. And he got in his car, and he drove as fast as he could to the school, and when he got there, they were fighting the fire, and there were children that were inside the building, and there were some on the second floor, and they were trying to get them all out, and the smoke was coming up in front of a window, and he screamed out his son's name, And his son was in the window on the second floor. And he asked this son, he said, "Son, I can see you. Would you just jump and I'll catch you?" And the son said to the dad, to the father, he said, "But daddy, I can't see you." But the daddy said to his son, he said, "But son, I can see you. If you will jump, I will catch you." You know, sometimes that's the way it is in our relationship with God. His promises are sure. He cannot change. He cannot fail. And sometimes we need to listen to him when he tells us to jump into his arms, that he will catch us. Because he sees more than we see, and he knows more than we know. And every promise of God is true. I want to give you just a few of my favorite promises from the Word of God. Number one is the promise of salvation. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says this. It says, "For God so loved the world." And I want to tell you what that means. That means everybody. That means if you're listening to my voice this morning, I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what anybody else tells you. God loves you. God cares about you. And the rest of this verse says this, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That means salvation is not about what you do. It's about what he's done. And if you want Jesus Christ in your life, all you have to do is receive what Jesus Christ has already done for you on the cross. I like the promise of rest and of help. That I have a Savior that I can go to when I am in need. Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 28 to 30 says this, "Come unto me." This is Jesus. He's speaking to people right now. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, sometimes what we really need in our lives is we simply need the peace of God. Yes, we want God to solve all of our problems. We want God to put us back to work. We want God to give us everything that we ask for. But if you've got everything in the world that you want and you don't have peace with God, you don't have anything. Sometimes even in the midst of your loss, you really just need the peace of God. You need God to be able to help you through it. God to be able to help you to a better day. And let me tell you something, there is a better day. A better day's coming. You see, I want to consider also the promise of his presence. Matthew chapter number 28 and verse number 20, the latter part of the verse says this. Jesus said this. He said, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. You know, I've heard people making the comment, and I don't know if they realize how serious it is when they say it, but I've heard people say, "I'm doing my end of the world shopping." I've even saw people when they knew everything was going to be shut down, they had end of the world parties. Well, I want to tell you something. The end of the world is coming. No man knows the day. We're not trying to tell you it's today. Remember, we're still taking tithes and offerings, okay? There was a guy that put out on the website 88 reasons why the Lord's coming back, and he gave the date. But you notice on their website they were still taking tithes and offerings. We know the Lord's coming, but we're not telling you it's today. Here's what I want you to understand. He is coming, and if you're making mockery of it and not preparing for it, you could be in trouble. You see, every day when I go outside and I look up and I see that rainbow, you know what I'm looking beyond? I'm looking to see if Jesus is coming. I'm listening for a sound of a trumpet. The thing about it for me as a Christian is he's with me every day today while I'm here on this earth. And when the time comes that we will leave, I am going to be with him because I know him. And I know him today in this life, and I'm going to know him in the next life. There's also a promise in John chapter 14, and I love these verses. Jesus said this. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to it because I want to go. Doesn't mean I want to leave today, but when God's time for me comes, I'm ready. When God's time for the whole world comes, I'm ready. You see, the power of a promise is great. The power of hope is great. And I want you to know, if you're listening to my voice this morning, there is a promise for you and there is hope for you. God can help you. You see, a promise does things. It motivates us. It even gives us courage. The promises of God, they give us hope and they give us peace. You see, the rainbow, it does that. It reminds us of the promises of God, that God is real. And I want to ask you, if you're listening this morning, do you know him? Do you have his peace in your heart? And do you need anything from him this morning? A very dear friend of mine, a preacher, a pastor, he got saved in his den. He went in his den on a Saturday night and he was troubled. Spent a lot of time in that den that night. My understanding is just about morning, he made things right with God. There wasn't any preachers there with him. There wasn't any deacons there with him. And I'm not sure whether he had a Bible or not. But what I do know about this man is he cried out to the Lord. And he asked the Lord to speak to his heart and to touch him. And God did exactly that. God saved that man and it changed him. He's now a pastor of a church. He's one of the greatest men I know. Because God loved him enough to reach down when he cried out. You don't have to be in church this morning for God to deal with your heart. You just have to speak to him and allow him to speak to you. One of the greatest prayers I've ever heard is simply this: God, help me. And if you'll pray that, God has some promises for you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we feel your Holy Spirit this morning. We're thankful that you're with us. God, if anybody's listening this morning that you spoke to, God, through your mercy and your love, would you reach down and help them? Help them to understand how much you love them. God, anybody that's lost that says, I need a promise, I need hope, God, if they'll cry out to you, we know that you're faithful and just. If we confess our sins, to forgive us of all of our sins. God, we pray for our church. We pray for those among us, Lord, that are in trouble. Lord, we pray for those that have experienced job loss already through this crisis. God, here's my prayers, that you'd open a door for them and they'd get a better job than they ever had before, with better pay than they had before. And God, we pray that you'd bind us together in unity. God, it's when we are able to come back together that, Lord, more than ever before, we'd love one another, would appreciate one another, and everything that we do, as the Bible says, we'd do it heartily as to you, to honor you. God, we pray you would give our leaders, Lord, some wisdom to know how to deal with these circumstances. God, we pray for the doctors. We pray for all those that are given assistance and help. We pray for those that are sick. And God, we pray for our president. God, we pray that you'd give him wisdom. Lord, we know there's a lot of wickedness and things going on in this world, even as the Bible says, spiritual wickedness in high places. But God, I can see you moving in this country, and I know that you are not done with us. God, for all you do and all that you have done, we're going to give you the honor. We're going to give you all the glory and all the praise. This we ask as we pray in the lovely name, the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for tuning in this morning.